So today indeed is the first Sunday of Lent. We just had Ash Wednesday a few days ago. And what a grace it is that we are in this Lenten season, these 40 days of preparation for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in fact, on Ash Wednesday, I was blessed to celebrate the school mass. And so I went around the room of the church asking the kids different questions. Why do we fast? What is the point of Lent? What are we participating in? What are we celebrating? And so what are we celebrating this Lent? It is the 40 days of this gospel that Jesus was in the desert preparing for his death and resurrection, preparing for his mission. We celebrate that, and during this time we know that Jesus did not eat, he did not drink, he was tempted, and then he overcame that temptation and of course drove out Satan, and the angels ministered to him. And so when I went around the church and asked these questions, the kids were very knowledgeable. They knew why we fasted. They knew why we give alms. They knew what Lent was about. And I also decided to ask them what they were giving up. And so I went around and I asked one kid what he was giving up, and he said Fortnite, which I did not know what that was, but I thought in my brain, what could that be? And I concluded it was a video game. So he gave up the video game for all of Lent. I went around, I asked another kid what he was giving up. The little first grader said waffles. Apparently he must love waffles and is really attached to them. I asked another kid, this kid said donuts. Another kid said he was going to give up some time and actually help his parents around the house, or he was going to make his bed. And so all these kids had different ideas of what to give up for Lent. And I was very impressed because they really truly thought about it, what they were giving up for God. And so I share with them what I gave up. I gave up primarily YouTube because I watch a lot of YouTube. And the reason I say that is because often we think, what should I give up for Lent? And objectively, the things we give up for Lent might not be sinful in themselves. A video game is not sinful. Donuts or waffles are not sinful. YouTube is not sinful. But if we are choosing that thing too much, if we're too attached to an object or a thing, then that is a barrier to loving our Lord. And so during this Lenten time, we give things up, we detach from something to attach to Jesus. And so my YouTube time keeps me from Him at some moments. Those video games, if it's too much of it, can keep us from the Lord. And so we have to ask ourselves, especially this Lenten season, on the things we gave up. Are they things that are kind of easy to give up? So if we gave up cookies, if we only eat cookies once a week, then is it really giving something up? You know, and so we have to ask ourselves, what am I giving up? Maybe it's that TV show I love watching every day for half an hour or an hour. Maybe it's that thing I do every day. Maybe it's my hobby. I spend too much time watching sports or looking up statistics. Okay, sports in themselves are not evil, but if I'm too attached to it, it's an issue. And so this Lenten season, why we give things up is to detach from those objects and attach to Jesus. And so what do we need to detach from to attach to Him? That's why we give things up. And we recognize that in this moment of detaching to attach, we also recognize that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days to prepare for his mission. And we all know that it is in our human nature to prepare for great things. I prepare many people for marriage and for weddings. And they don't show up one day and say, hey, we're getting married tomorrow. I would go, what? I'm beginning a little preparation. And so we recognize that people pick a date, they put it out a year and a half in advance, and they meet with the priest, they have to have time to pick the dress, to pick the tuxedos, to get a DJ, to pick a venue, in order to prepare for that amazing day of the wedding and the marriage. In order to become a priest, the Lord calling me to my vocation, I had to go for 6 years, leave the world and prepare for that mission. Even in our home lives, when we know we're going on a vacation, camping or Disney World or Lake Geneva, what do? We plan. We get a list. What are we going to do? What do we need to pack? And you spend time packing for days, preparing, and then you start thinking, okay, am I missing anything? Should I add anything? What do I need to correct in order to have a fruitful time? And so when great things are on the horizon, we plan and we change things in order to participate in that greatness as the best of possible way. We remember to bring the bathing suit to Lake Geneva. Why? Because I want to swim. We remember to bring the blankets and stuff and the sleeping bags during the camping trip because I want to have a good trip. And so this Lenten season, we are preparing for greatness. And ultimately, what is Jesus preparing for? Yes, he's going to call his disciples the next few verses. Yes, he's going to walk on water. Yes, he's going to cure the sick, heal the blind, bring Lazarus back to life. But ultimately, what Jesus is preparing for is his death. Jesus Christ left his throne, became a man, was born for one reason, and it was to die. Jesus was born to die. That's why he came here. All the other things are just part of that. And so we too, this Lenten season, are called to remember that we are born, that we are going to die, and we need to prepare. When I was praying about this, what came to my mind was a couple years ago, 3 years ago, I was a deacon before I became a priest, and I was at Mundelein Seminary, and then on the weekends, I would go to St. Rita's in Aurora, and I would preach every weekend as a deacon. That was my deacon parish. And so one weekend, after preaching Saturday and Sunday, I was driving back to the seminary. It was about 7 p.m. It was dark, and it was a stormy day. I mean, the rain was going crazy around town. And I was on Randall Road and Main in Batavia, right at the stoplight. And I was sitting there waiting for the light to turn green, and I saw right in front of me this man crossing the street. He was crossing, and then the car perpendicular to us got a green arrow and started driving, and because of the darkness and because of the rain, the guy driving did not see the walker, and so he hit the guy crossing the street, and he hit him very hard. And the gentleman did not just like land on the lights of the car. He didn't even land on the hood or even the windshield. Rather, he got hit so hard that the guy flew up into the air and landed on top of this guy's car because he was hit so hard. He landed on top of the vehicle and then he rolled off and hit the ground. My light turned green. I pulled up to help the gentleman. I got out of the car. It's storming rain. I'm in my priest clothes and I start picking them up. It was very strange. Nobody else pulled over. People just kept driving past us. And so I carried him to the side of the road and I put him in the back of the vehicle of the gentleman who hit him. And I ran back to my car, parked on the side of the road next to him. I called 911. I said someone was just hit. I gave them the location. After they said they were coming, I ran back out of the car to see how the gentleman was doing, and the guy who hit him was like really distraught, of course. He just hit somebody. So I got in the back of the car, and again, it's storming, and I said, hey buddy, what's your name? Because he was very out of it. His eyes were closing, and you could tell he was very hurt. He said, my name's Jimmy. Jimmy. I was like, okay. Hey, you got hit by a car really bad. How do you feel? What's going on? He said, I'm just really tired and my whole body hurts and my head hurts. I said, okay, well, you got to keep talking to me. You got to stay awake, okay? I said, where were you trying to go right now? Why were you out in the rain? He said, I was just trying to get some dinner. I just wanted to get some dinner. I said, okay, and he said, I really, really hurt, and my brain really hurts, and I just recently had like two surgeries on my head, and I've had other brain injuries, and the doctor said I can't have another brain injury because I could have permanent damage, or I could be really hurt or die if I get hit again. I I said, okay, well, we're just going to keep talking, and the ambulance is on their way. I said, is it okay? I'm a deacon. Can I pray with you? He said, yes, yeah, please pray for me. I said, okay, we're going to pray. And so I got over Jimmy. I extended my hands, and the gentleman who hit him also got in there and put his hands over Jimmy. And I just said a prayer. I said, God, please protect this, your son. Whatever is broken or any cells that are damaged in his brain, we ask that you heal him, breathe new life in him, protect him, give him newness of life, let him get home one day. Amen. And a few minutes later, the ambulance showed up. They took Jimmy away. And I prayed with the gentleman who had hit him. He was very distraught. And praise God, Jimmy eventually did go home. And he was eventually recovered. But after I had gotten in my car, right after that happened, drenched in rain, soaking wet, I sat there and I thought, gosh, what just happened in the last 20 minutes? And as I sat there reflecting, I just felt very helpless and weak. Because what I recognized was I just encountered someone who had no idea that they were going to approach possibly death that night. He did not expect to be walking home and get hit by a car and land on top of someone's roof and have all these injuries. And the reason I felt weak is because I couldn't do anything for him. I couldn't fix his infirmity. I couldn't fix the issue in his brain. I couldn't go into his soul, and I couldn't even fix anything in there. I couldn't even absolve his sins at this point. I was just a deacon. I couldn't go in there and do anything for him. All I could do is pray for him. And all I prayed was, God, I hope he knows you. I hope he knows the God of the universe. I hope he has a relationship with you, because only you can save him. No one else can go into his heart and make him be converted. No one else can help him to remove his sins. No one else can make him realize how precious life is and how we have such a short time on earth, and we have to radically love the God of the universe. We have to radically convert our hearts and recognize that we only have one life, and this life is meant to die and be united to Jesus Christ, and only he can save us. No one else could save that poor man. And I just prayed, God, I hope he knows you, because no one else can save him. And so this is a great reminder for each one of us this Lenten season. As we prepare in this desert with Jesus Christ, why do we go in the desert? Why do we reject certain things? Why do we detach? Because in the desert, we recognize that we have nothing else. When we are alone, we hate being alone. Why? Because we recognize, oh my gosh, no one else is here to help me. No one else is here to love me. I have nothing to cling to. And so when everything else disappears, we have to ask the question, who's going to love me? Who's going to care for me? If I don't have my children or my spouse or my things, my car, my money, or my video game or my TV, what am I going to attach myself to? And so that's why the desert's good. That's why in that moment, Jimmy was in the desert. He had nothing else. And so this Lenten season, we have to ask ourselves two questions. What do we need to detach from to attach to him? And then secondly, are we becoming more like Christ? And if his main point of living was to die, not for himself, but for others, he wasn't up there for him. He's up there for everyone else. Then are we too dying for other people? Are we dying for other people? In our sufferings, the reason we go, woe is me, gosh, I'm so depressed, is because we see our suffering and go, oh my gosh, it's all about me. I'm struggling. I have this burden. The better thing is, I have a suffering. That's a fact. Who am I going to suffer for? What am I going to do with this? And so a challenge for each one of us, myself included, is whatever you gave up this Lent, whatever you're detaching from, I challenge you to not give it up for you, but but rather give it up for someone in your life that you would not die for. Give up that thing for someone you would not die for. The reason I say that is because if we're called to be more like Jesus Christ on the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Who is He talking about? Yes, every single one of us who hurt Him. But in that immediate moment, who's around Him? The person who just spat upon Him, the person who crowned Him with thorns, the people who flogged Him, the person next to Him is saying, "Save us if you really are God. Why aren't you doing anything for us?" He's saying it to those who are precisely crucifying Him, those who are precisely killing Him and hurting Him and inflicting the wounds upon Him. And so if we are called to radically be like Jesus Christ, we must die for those we would not die for. We must love those who are unlovable. If we do not do that, then we are not being like Christ. It is easy to die for those who are lovable. It is hard to die for those who are unlovable. And so who in your life would you not die for? Who is that person that has hurt you so much that you don't even want to think about them? You don't want to even picture them in heaven with you. So give that thing up for them. Whether that's a sibling that you haven't spoken to in 10 years, whether it's a parent who you haven't spoken to either, who you have no relationship with, whether it's a friend who you loved and then they hurt you, whether it's an ex-relationship who cheated on you and you still have that grave wound, or whether it's even your spouse who is with you today that you have to die for. Whoever that person is, die for them. And for Lent, make that your one mission. Put aside all the jumble, the pain, put aside all the logistics, and just offer up your suffering for them. And then lastly, every morning, wake up and say an Our Father and a Hail Mary for them, for their broken heart. Just do that. If you give that up for them, if you pray for them daily, I promise you, in 40 days, not because it's my promise, but it's God's, He makes covenants, I don't. If you pray for them every day, if you choose to give something up and die for them, your heart will be transformed. You will love them more. You will move closer to them. You will eventually want to reconcile, and their heart too will be transformed. And so who will you die for this Lent? Who will you suffer for? Who will you say to God, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing"? So let us receive Christ in the Eucharist. For on our own ability, we cannot make this prayer. We are too broken. But with the power of Christ, all things are possible. So attach to Him. Die for others, so that on Easter, ourselves, Christ, and those who right now seem unlovable will have salvation and God's love.